World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I had to hurry and get back here. Excuse me, little frog there. Come on out of there, frog. Had to hurry home from Texas and get here behind the microphone for Monday morning because I was afraid I was going to lose my job to Mark Trump. Man, oh, man, I got to tell you something. That guy leaves your head scratching, doesn't it? Or leaves you scratching your head. I jumped on the airplane on Friday morning on our way down to Texas. But I kept listening to the show. And man, oh, man, oh, man. When that show was over, I didn't get to hear about the last 15 minutes. I heard 45 minutes of it. Mark, you ain't me, but I ain't you. And I don't even know if you're in here today, buddy. You did a great job on Friday. And I felt bad also because I didn't really get a chance to talk much about the Russ Dizdar show that we had on Thursday. So I'm going to try to throw both of those on the table here as we progress through the show here today on the 12th day of April, 2021. Had an amazing thing happen down at Chad's. It was great. The whole weekend was great down at Chad's. But I told Michelle this morning, there were about, I don't know, 40 of us. Probably they came from far-flung places like they always do. It's amazing. It's just amazing the reach that this little show has begun bearing a lot of fruit. And boy, Chad works his A-R-S-E off. He and Michelle, the stuff that they put together and the planning and everything that went into it was amazing. I'm going to get into that here in a little bit. But you know what I realized? I was sitting around there yesterday morning, Sunday morning, or maybe, I don't know, Saturday night, one of those times. And I was, you guys ever look in the mirror and think you're old? Sometimes I look in the mirror and think, is it, what? Where'd that guy come from? Who is that guy? Because if we would be honest, you're ageless on the inside, aren't you? Don't you feel like you're ageless? I mean, your body lets you know you're not 17, but then don't you in your heart still think you can do that stuff that you did when you were 17 and go out and play softball and run around and jump and, man, you just can't do it anymore. And I'm sitting around there and I'm looking at all the wonderful people that are down there at Chad's and what a great event that's going on. And just my heart was just really kind of full. And I was looking around and all of a sudden I noticed something. I thought, Coach, is there anybody here older than you? And I looked around. I said, OJ, how old are you? And OJ said, I think OJ said 72. I think he said, I'm not blowing. I hope I'm not telling a story on you, OJ, if you're out there. And I looked around. I said, that's it. OJ's the oldest guy. And I'm the second oldest guy. Now, I'm thinking, when was the last time ever in your life you were in a group of 40 adults and you were second oldest? Then, Lord, where's my life gone? What is going on here? Oh, my goodness. Somewhere along the line, I became one of those senior saints. Remember when you used to hear about those guys in church? Hey, I'm one of them. Lord, what the heck is going on here? It was an unbelievable weekend. This isn't a setup. I want Chad to come in and talk a little bit about it. Folks, it was remarkable. I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. I'm just telling you this. If you get a chance to come to any type of gathering that we have, you are so missing it if you don't try to get there. The fellowship was rich. Chad had it set up that, you know, we did nighttime, if you can imagine this. They did training on Saturday. Defensive training for the most part, how to react if you're in a parking lot and all of a sudden your car is surrounded and how to clear a room and a one-on-one. Chris Keys did a great job of self-defense, protecting yourself. And then on Saturday night at dark, they took us through and they walked us through all those scenarios at dark. Oh my goodness, it was amazing. And I didn't get a chance to go through it all because, again, I'm the oldest guy there, right? And it was just unbelievable. So yesterday when we had the debriefing and everybody's talking about it, it was amazing to hear everybody talk about what they had learned. But at the heart of all of it, folks, man, that fellowship is so rich. So rich. The only thing I'm going to criticize Chad on, next time, Chad, we need name tags. Gotta have name tags. See, some people are good with names and some people aren't good with names. And it's awful to think that I walk away from that group with 45 of these people came from all over America. Literally, Gary Donahoe and Pennsylvania Brett and Bobby Lee drove all the way from Pennsylvania. Oh, my goodness. And so, Chad, name tags next time. But Chad, just give us a real debriefing from your perspective, buddy. Hey, Chad is Chad's the A-team, man. Chad is the A-team. For those of you who don't know, we started this Salt and Light Brigade with four of us. I've told that story many times. Me and Chad and his wife, and, well, Glenn and Corinne showed up late, and Rusty Thomas was one of the speakers. We started it with four people. And I believe if Chad tried to get everybody together, it'd be over 100 now who would be part of this. Chad, come on in, man. Give us a debriefing here, man.
Well, too, I want to just, I'm grateful, too. I was able to get on Stephen Minking's show and talk about it. And then also we got on the Hagmans. We're able to get on there and talk about it. So I appreciate the other platforms giving us the opportunity to get on there and push our event. But I was overwhelmed. As a event host or whatever planner, there's all this other stuff going on behind the scenes that I'm trying to get all lined up and everyone else they didn't even miss a beat. It seemed like they were just like, oh, and I'm back here trying to get everything done. But I appreciate everybody. They took the everything really seriously. They wanted to work through it. And I thought they really, they saw the vision, what I was trying to do, and they accepted it. And I thought they'd do really well. They did really well. So I was grateful that for the turnout. I mean, they had old lady Stacy. She came from New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Adrian came from South Carolina and Ohio and those Pennsylvania
Wisconsin,
boys.
Wisconsin.
Close to Mexico. And it's just flattered. I was just like, I just kept saying over and over again, I'm just looking at this crowd and I'm just saying, man, I'm just grateful that any one person will come. I really am. We're just humbled by it. And so we want to try to do something again, perhaps maybe in September. We're just going to look at it because I know Jamie's got an event coming too, and I don't want to conflict with that. And people only got so much time. So,
amen. Hey, Chad, here's what I want you to do, though, before the whole weekend's, the weekend's over. I want you to go out and take a picture of that $1,100 Jiffy John. Yeah, folks, you heard me right. Chad rented a Jiffy John, $1,100, because there isn't any place close. And so it had to come all the way from Mike Blake, $1,100 to go pee. I never heard anything in my life. So that's where all the money went. Money didn't go into Chad's pocket. It went for $1,100 Jiffy Johns, but it was certainly all worth it. And it was really kind of an overwhelming experience. And Chad, as I just say publicly, I love the way you play, man. You did a great job. And your wife, Michelle, I salute her, because my wife, Michelle, not the same woman, behind the scenes doing all the work, I know what it's like. I know what it's like when she lays her head down on her pillow at night and says, well, I got to do this for breakfast in the morning. And do we have enough eggs? And do we have all that stuff that goes through your head? And if anything was missing, no speed bumps that we saw, man. So God bless everybody out there. Anybody want to weigh in? Anybody that was there want to weigh in?
Well, Dave, another thing sure. is, I didn't do it all by myself either. Of course, yes, my wife did help me. But, we had other instructors in here that came. They gave the classes. Everybody was all in on it. They were very humble about it. They weren't like, well, I did this, And so Chris, like I said, Chris Keys came in, Manna came. Al came, and so Hawkins was here, and he did a great job.
Yep.
George and you know, we just had some people that normally are kind of just on the periphery. So we asked them, so, you know, come on in here, and we'd like for you to come in and teach a class. So we know it's tap into our own network of people that they have some skill set, right?
Hey, amen. So, that's it. We're saying that over.
I want to thank Bobby Lee. He was selfless on this. He came down here.
Yes,
and,
he was.
And he, you know, we kind of threw a little wrench in there, and we brought him in and had him do some stuff too. So I'm just grateful that it took everybody that came, you know, to their attitude too was to, and it was just so positive, and it was just reassuring that we're all in this together.
That's right. Hey, folks, if you would like to do one of these, just get a hold of us. We'll help you get it off of the ground the first time. You may not have 40 or 50 people. You may not. But we'll have Chad will come. We're going to go to Montana later on this summer. They've invited us to Montana. Chad's going to go out there, and we'll come to your community. Now, we need more than 5 people, but we'll come and do it. And I want you all to know this, folks. Listen. We don't make money at this thing. This is not a money-making operation, okay? So when Chad charged, Chad, 130, whatever you charged, all of the money, folks, is Chad ain't lying in his pocket, and Pass the Salt didn't lie in their pockets. And I tried to make it explain to everybody that what happens at the Salt and Light Brigade in Texas financially stays in the Salt and Light Brigade in Texas. If we raised more money than we needed, it doesn't stay with Pass the Salt Ministries. I get it. It gets to Chad, and Chad continues to build his brigade through that. So we want it to be autonomous. If you start something, it's yours. It's in your community. You are the Pennsylvania Salt and Light Brigade. You are the Oklahoma. You guys are it. And we're not here to try to profit or make money off of anybody else. But just want you to know how much, Chad, I appreciate it, and your willingness to go and help. And Neil and Mary that came out, Libby came all the way down from Wisconsin, and they got a big event coming up. And I forget when it is, Neil. I know it's on the calendar. We got a lot, man. I'm telling
July
you,
30, July 30, 31, and August 1.
July 30, 31, August 1. There's already a great pushback and excitement about that going on up there. And hey, I'm going this week. I'm going. My wife and I are going to Boston. Boston, Mass. Do you guys know that this weekend, y'all remember the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere? Maybe you can pull that up there real quick, Spencer, as I just kind of transition into something else here. I see it was a standalone email sent to you, Spence. Do you guys know that Boston, Massachusetts, Midnight Ride of Paul Revere took place on what it was a shot heard around the world, right? And it was fired at Lexington Green in Boston, Massachusetts, or outside Boston, Massachusetts. And they have a April 18, 1775. I wonder if one of those days is coming again, by the way. And they have a reenactment every year, although they didn't have it last year. And from what I understand, they're not having the reenactment again this year. But we're working with Hal and some of the folks out in Boston. Michelle and I are going to be there this weekend for let's see, we're going in Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, actually the night of April 18, 1775. Now, you can go, listen, my children, you shall hear the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. You all remember that, right? Well, that interesting story. If you follow history, it really wasn't Paul Revere that did it. Paul Revere was part of the crew, but the ride was really done by a guy named William Dawes. And those of you who live here in Ohio have been here before. Dawes Arboretum is just down the road. It's about 5 miles down the road from where we are. Charles Dawes, he's the guy who was Paul Revere, Charles Dawes. But when they wrote the "Listen, My Children, You Shall Hear the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere," it rhymed, and that's why he used Paul Revere's name. Not that Paul Revere wasn't significant, but he was, but he wasn't the main cog in it. So we're going to be there this weekend. If you guys are in Boston or New England up and they want to come try to join with us. Maybe, Spencer, maybe you can go real quickly. Sorry, folks, just let me get this on the table. Maybe, Spencer, go to our events page, okay? If you could real quickly. And it tells you the two places we're going to be, and we're going to be traveling. Yes, I'm taking my wife. I'm not going to spend another weekend without her. 17th and 18th, Ohio Brace got a honking wave, but shot heard around the world. There it was. Is Rich Howe. If you haven't, Rich is going to give a historical demonstration of what happened there in Lexington, Massachusetts. The 19th, a biblical a response to critical race theory, cultural Marxism, cancel culture, a workshop there, April 19th. And hey, folks, you can see that we got us a schedule, don't we? So Michelle and I are going to be driving to Boston and then coming back this next weekend then for the Russ Dizdar training. It wasn't Russ's show unbelievable on Thursday. Oh, my goodness. It can be overwhelming. So Pennsylvania, Oklahoma Salt and Light Brigade, Pennsylvania Salt and Light Brigade, Honka Wave, Kentucky Salt and Light Brigade, Ohio Salt and Light Brigade. Does my heart good, man. Does my heart good. We're getting a lot of stuff done. All right. Let me open it up. Let me click over here. Maybe I'll open it up and I got something I want to share with you here. Let's see. Does this work? That works. No, that doesn't work. That's the wrong thing. Does this work? Anybody got their hand in the air? Anybody got anything they want to say? Got 86 folks in here. Everybody must be sleeping in on us. I got in late last night, man. I hate flying. Hey, I got to show you a new trick. You ready? I figured this one out. Myra, you'll like this one. You know, you got to wear a mask and when you fly. And I feel like I'm compromised. I hate it, man. I hate it. I figured out how to do it. You ready? So I put my mask on. And you walk in on the plane, and of course they tell you, you got to wear your mask the whole time you're in there, right? And the Nazis, they're playing it over the PA, and the stewardesses are coming by. I'm, sir, pull your mask up, sir. Pull your mask up. So I finally figured it out. So I sat down, and I put it there, and then I leaned back, and I act like I was asleep. And I put my mask there. So I wrote, hey, American Airlines, I didn't wear the mask. I didn't wear the mask. I can tell them now I didn't do it, all right? I didn't do it.
Excellent.
Yes, I don't want you guys to think that I sold out on you because I didn't. And just, it's like, you know, inside, on the outside, looks like I'm wearing a mask. I ain't giving in, man. I ain't wearing no mask. And I got somebody sitting here and somebody sitting here and somebody sitting here and here and here and right behind. And they want me to think this freaking mask is going to protect me. Hey. How stupid are we, right? And you take off your mask to eat. Well, no, that's not true because they didn't even feed us anymore. So now I get on the plane. They don't even feed me anymore. I got to wear a stinking mask. They don't even give me a pretzel. They don't even give you a pretzel. Somebody might get sick if you get a pretzel. For $454 or whatever it is round trip. And I got home into the arms of my sweet little wife last night. It was late, but I got in last night. I said, I don't ever want to fly again. I don't ever want. I hate it. I hate
it. Coach. Amen.
I hate it, man. I hate it. Mark, great job on Friday, man. Appreciate it. I want you to know how much we appreciate it. Come on in, John Diamond and Brett Bull. Go ahead, John.
Hey, I was talking with Alex Newman, who just flying back. He said one of the secrets he learned, he said he always just keeps a little thing of water there. And when anyone looks at him, he just takes a drink because you can have it down and take a drink. So he said he keeps a little tiny snack or a little tiny drink and he keeps it. But I love your idea too. That's great. Pull your hat down. Just act like you're sleeping. Yep. Yeah.
I mean, they're not gonna wake, right? It looks like you got it on. They're not going to wake you. Right. So I want every one of you to know I tricked them. I wore it to get on the plane, but then I took it off and I didn't put it back on. So felt like I had a little bit of a victory there. Go ahead, Brett. Come on in.
Hey, that's why I've been doing Enterprise rental car, driving back from Florida to Ohio this whole last year. But we don't need to trick anybody anymore. Maybe it's time for some heated honking waves and baggage claim. Heat honking waves at every single freaking airport. This is a joke. We don't need to trick anybody. We the people need to take our rights back.
We
makes
do,
me
man.
Sick.
Yeah, because, you know, can you go to my Facebook page real quick, Spencer? I got to show you guys this. I don't know. Some of you saw it. Maybe some of you didn't. I'm sorry. Spencer didn't really have this ready to go. Just, yeah, scroll down if you can, Spence. Hey, Brett, there you are. Scroll down. And I posted a map of masks. A map of masks. Let's see if we can find it. Keep going, Spence. Oh, Lord. All these Coach Dave things popping up. Yeah, go to that one. Anyway, 23, 26 states have now lifted their mask mandates. Look at that. Hey, look at that. Go back there a second, Spencer. Talk about price gouging. I was on the airplane. Before I got on the airplane, I wanted to buy some nuts, right? Buy some, just some stinking nuts. Just some mixed nuts. $6.49 for 3 ounces of nuts. Now, somebody tell me how that's not price gouging. How's that even legal that they can do that? A Coke, $4, whatever you got to pay for it. You're a captive audience, right? You can't go anywhere. That's price gouging, folks. Scroll on down. Yeah, I bought them and I ate them. There we are. Look at this, folks. No mask mandate. Doesn't that look like the electoral map to a degree? Huh? And what the heck is wrong with us here in Ohio that we still let Michael DeWine keep us blue? What is going on? 23 free states. So we're starting to push back. And Brett, you're right, man. We got to stand back and stand up and push back against more of that. Cool. All right. Okay. I want to pull up. Make sure I'm saying the right thing here, Spence. Pull up Jeremiah 5. Silver in here today? That didn't seem. Is he doing okay? Rich, come on in while I'm looking to see if Silver's in here.
Yeah, it was. Indiana's a little deceiving because our Weenie mayor, he just turned it over to the local businesses and the municipalities. If they want to keep the masks up, they can. And of course, they give them the opportunity to be little Hitlers. So there's still a lot of places still running masks. I'm not. I'm saying, and nobody's bothered me, you know.
Right.
But they're still running around with their face covered up.
Hey, Rich, and we're still what, 98? What'd you say, Ohio, Brett? 98.6 or whatever? We're still an A+.
A+ rating. And coach, down here in Florida, it's the same. They think that Rich DeSantis is such a great governor, but accountability goes all the way down to the local level. No, everybody's wearing a mask, and these stores are awful. So it's not over yet.
Shows how deep the conditioning is, doesn't it?
Yes.
How deep it is that they would lift the mask mandate and they would still be wearing it is unbelievable.
I'm the only one in the Publix, which is like a Kroger's. Publix is a real big grocery store chain. And all the managers now, they already got the memo. They're talking to me. They're nice as can be. I just didn't have a mask on. And everybody else has a mask. The managers know that the rules already came down. If someone doesn't have to have a mask, you don't have to hound them. But they don't have to tell you that.
No. Crazy, man. Come on, come on, come on. Trump, come on in. Again, Mark, thanks, man, for Friday. I had people tell me, Mark, they went back and listened to you 3 times. They couldn't believe the stuff you were putting out
there. Oh, there's more. There's more. I'm boiling over, Coach. But I tell you, I appreciate the opportunity. The audience was great. They interacted well, Rochelle and Naomi, and everyone pitched in. Yeah. So I appreciate everyone covering Coach. We need to do that more often. Give him a break. I wanted to say these companies, airlines are a good example. They're international and they're national. So they can't have a local state policy. So if you think about it from a company's perspective, companies have more power than the government. They're international, and they can violate state law. They can violate federal law because they're international. They got to meet world law. They got to so if you think about it from a higher level, that's why you can't go to Cracker Barrel in one state. The policy has to be the same across the company.
So Mark, I'm on the plane yesterday and before they take off, I flew American. I'm American Airlines. I always fly American, but flew American Airlines. And before they take off, you know how they come over the PA and say, in case of an emergency, water from blah, 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 a falls from the ceiling, all that stuff. And then they start talking about COVID. And they say, listen, got that deep voice, federal law mandates that you wear a mask. From the time you enter the plane to the time you leave, federal law mandates it, and you are subject to, you refuse to wear a mask, you are subject to fines and even arrest. And I'm thinking, dude, this ain't no freaking law. What are you saying that for? It's not a law. Now, if they want to say it's their public policy, okay, that's something. But stop telling us it's a law and that somehow the federal government can arrest me? How does that happen? The federal government can arrest me for not wearing a mask. And they just condition me. You know what I wanted to do? Oh, yeah. I want to get home to my wife. But I want to stand up and dance on those chairs. Say, you dummies, they're freaking lying to you, you dummies. It's not a law. That's what I wanted to do, but I didn't want to spend the night in jail. So, right? You got to count the cost. I just want to get home, get in bed. That's all I wanted to do. Rich, your hand is still up. Did you want to get in here? I didn't know if you did or not. You just didn't.
No, I'm sorry.
That's right. Hey, Spence, I just had a change here. We're going to go to Jeremiah 5. If you guys are following along in the Bible, and Silver, I'm going to have you read from it here in a second. But if you could real quickly, Spencer, please pull up. I think I showed you this, although I don't know if I did or not. So I'm going to show it again in case some of you missed it. Pull up the Matt Truella video, the pro-life. He called it the pro-life. This is really good, folks. I got an unbelievable sermon from Matt Truella. I'm going to get up on the web. Oh, my goodness. There's several couple good videos on the website if you want to know what's going on. But Matt takes on the pro-life movement, and this is really good. It's only 3 minutes. Go ahead, Spence, because I'm going to use this to segue into what we're doing next. Go ahead.
The pro-life movement has spent the last several years, millions upon millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of man hours, trying to get heartbeat bills passed across the country. On February 17th this year, the South Carolina legislature passed their heartbeat bill. It was heralded and hailed as a great pro-life victory by the GOP leadership, by the pro-life pro-family groups. And the very next day, the federal courts trampled that bill. In fact, 11 states now have passed heartbeat bills, and all of them have seen their laws trampled by the federal courts. The pro-life movement thinks that they have to undo the evil of Roe by getting the Supreme Court to rule against Roe, and that has been a failed policy. The pro-life movement has brought 38 cases since Roe to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has ruled against the preborn all 38 times. Yet the pro-life movement goes back again and again to ask the tyrant to end their tyranny. Why line up at the tyrant's gate? That's absurdity. We do not have to go through the Supreme Court and undo Roe in order to protect the preborn. Did you hear me? We do not have to go through the Supreme Court and undo Roe in order to protect the preborn. We created a government with checks and balances precisely for a situation like this. There's murder going on, and the other branches of government need to step up to the plate and stop it. Not just hide behind the skirt of the court and say, well, the Supreme Court has ruled. All we can do is obey. Their duty is interposition. Their duty is to stand in defiance of the evil and bring an end to this slaughter. And because the pro-life movement hasn't been demanding that of the state magistrates have decided, well, we'll just politicize this evil. We'll just regulate their murder rather than do their duty and stop the murder cold. If you give a politician something less than what is needed and necessary, he'll take it every single time. And when it comes to the murder of the preborn, what is necessary is its complete abolition, the complete Amen. Outlawing and criminalizing of it, and nothing less. And listen to me, it is crucial that you, as a person, as an individual, pick up this thinking, and that you go to your magistrates and you demand of them interposition for the preborn, and you don't accept anything less. We here at Defy Tyrants have taught thoroughly that the states are legally, morally, and historically right to defy the federal judiciary and protect these preborn children. Check out our writings, contact us. We'd be more than happy to help you out in order to get this message out for those who cannot speak for themselves.
Okay, man, that's good. Dude, hey, listen, Spencer, I'm going to see how quick you are on the switch, man. Go to my website, CoachDaveLive.com, because I'm going to tie something together here real quickly. And if you could go to last Thursday's commentary, which I didn't get a chance to read, but I want to do it real quickly here because it's going to tie into what we're going to do next. And I just heard from the Holy Spirit right there. No, that's not what it is. No, yeah, it is. Maybe that's it. No, that's not it. That's not it. Come on, Jared. Man, let's get good. That posted. Hey, listen, up there. Spencer, I'm gonna see how quick you are on the switch, man. Nope, that's not it. Let's go to newswithviews.com. How did we not get that post? That's my bad. Find me. No, it's not it. Find a article by author. Go ahead. Yeah, go down real quickly. Come on, folks. I wouldn't do this to you except it ties together. Okay, bear with me a second. Okay, there I am. Click on me real quick. Good. Go to Sorry, kids. I got this from Rochelle. Sorry, kids, but adults have lied to you. Adults have lied to you. Okay? Now I'm going to listen. Because they are seniors. No, it's go down to the fourth paragraph. Even worse is the condition of Christians in the room. It's safe to say that not even one in a hundred Christians in that room understand the biblical principles, nor can they articulate when something is right or wrong. I'm talking about Christians in that classroom that I was talking to last week. Not one in a hundred can tell you why something is right or something is wrong. They can't do it, right? Because of all these other reasons. So here's the truth. So much of what we teach our children today is not true. Folks, you listen to me, folks. We are permitting things to be taught to our children that aren't true. Facts, evidence, and proof used to be required before any educated person could be expected to believe a premise postulated by a person in authority. Ronald Reagan called it trust but verify. Today, belief demands no facts, evidence, or proof. Somebody say amen. Today, belief demands no facts, no evidence, or no proof. Feelings rule the day.
Amen.
And that's the result of years of secularism being spewed out of the mouths of the experts of Oprah and celebrities, opinion stars like, oh, LeBron James is a great basketball player. He only got a high school education. He has more influence over Americans than their grandparents do. Somebody say amen there too, although you don't have to. The average adult remains silent as schools and most of society teach our children things that simply are not based in facts. Okay, folks, here we go. I just ran down this list. I want you to understand that everything that's going on in America is going on because we have permitted it. We no longer stand for truth, demand truth, defend truth. The church I'm talking about. Every one of these things is being taught with the approval of the church. Why? Because they told the church not to get involved with politics. Don't mix the secular and the sacred. So as a result of that, here, hey, if you want to argue, you can argue. This is just a bunch I came up with as I was writing the article. Here's some lies that we teach today in a school, in a society, to our children. You ready? Humans evolved from apes. Here, you know what I need? At the end of every one of these things. So you can do that in your head. Climate change is man-made. People are born homosexual. Government knows what is best. Government does not lie. Bruce Jenner is a woman. An unborn baby is not a person. Some things are free. There is no God. There are many different races of people. White people rigged the system. Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. My heritage holds you back. Safe sex outside of marriage. Contradictory truths. Belief is proof. If you believe it, it's true. Judges and courts make laws. A real dollar is a piece of paper printed by the government. God loves everyone just the way they are. There is no God. Government grants us our rights. Speech is free until someone objects. The Federal Reserve is a government agency. So is the IRS. Some women have a penis. Cheaters never win and winners never cheat. Evidence is proof. Popular opinion's never wrong. Humanism and secularism are not religions. The vaccines are safe. Where am I? Where am I? Porn's free speech. Homosexual behavior is normal. You can borrow your way out of debt. Colleges make one smarter. America owes you something. America's a democracy. Science is never biased. Right and wrong are determined by the courts. Right and majority always rules. If it feels good, do it. Now, does anybody want to argue with any of those things?
Boom.
Every damn one of those is a lie, and we teach them to our kids. Every damn one.
Amen. Oh, wow.
Yes or no? Yes or no? You wouldn't believe how many people responded and said, well, coach, what about God loves everyone? Hey, dude, God doesn't love everybody. God hates all workers of iniquity. Jacob I've loved, Esau I've hated. Come on. God loves his own. Yes, we were all created by God in the image of God. Yes, he created us all, but we are not all his children. You are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father, you will. That's what scripture says. God confused, right? So look at this. Is this you guys could probably add 10 more that we teach to our kids, and we don't even bat an eye. We ain't bad a guy. I could go on, so could you. None of these statements is true. None of them are true. Yet they're all taught as fact. Together we could list 1,000 half-truths that we teach to our children. And a half-truth is a full lie. Hey, Brad, I'm going to say that again. A half-truth is a full lie. Adults regularly lie to the children. If truth makes us free, why do we permit lies to be taught? Why do we pay for our schools to teach half-truths and opinions as fact? My goodness. If every doctor in the world told us that vaccinations were safe, would that make it so? We adults get what we pay for. Go along to get along. Stop worrying about truth. Tell them lies, because lies make them feel better, right? Huh? I want to be like Mike. Ask LeBron James what he thinks. He can dunk. He's a millionaire. He wears Nikes. He's on TV. Just do it. Stop lying to our kids. The only chance we got, man. Which leads me to silver. Because Chad did a great job at Chad's. Yes, they do spiritual things at these boot camps that we had. And Chad had us read from Jeremiah 5. I got to tell you, it really, really convicted me. You know what was really good about it? We're sitting around under Chad's little porch there and reading from the scripture. And then we would say, hey, what do you think about that? And it would be amazing. What the Holy Spirit would speak to somebody else. And then they would say, well, here's what I see out of it. And you go, wow, I didn't see that. And then somebody else would say, well, here's what I see. And that's why the Bible says that in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom, right? Why do we sit in church and let one guy stand up there and tell us all what to think and believe and why we should believe it? Have you ever been in church and your pastor reads something and interprets it and your spirit flips over and says, ooh. That's not what that says. That's not what that says. You ever been there, done that? Huh? Yeah. So I said several times, sitting under the tent, the porch at Chad's, damn, this is church. This is church. This is the way it's supposed to be, man. So, hey, Joe, so this is a little bit long, but folks, I think it's important. Now listen, remember this. The Bible's principles never change. The situation changes, time changes, instruction changes, but the truth of the scriptures never change. So what Jeremiah, by the way, Jeremiah started preaching when he was 17 years old. I don't know if you ever knew that. Never got married. He was a single guy his whole life. They called him the weeping prophet because he never got one convert. Never got one. What a life that would be, huh? Living alone, no wife, everybody hating you. He's in the Bible and you're not. But anyway, Jeremiah wrote this. And as we were reading it, I was just blown away. So, hey, Silver, I'm going to trust you to know this. I'm probably going to interrupt here a couple times.
Probably.
I think it's important that we do, okay? Go ahead and start on that, brother.
Not a problem.
Hang on. Hey, folks, every time you see Jerusalem or his people, don't think about Israel. Think about here and now and you and us, okay? This is written today for us. Go ahead, Joe.
Jeremiah 5. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem.
No, America, Joe. America. I'm not being critical, right? America. Start again, Joe. You're doing great.
You want me to separate?
Change no. It? Well, we got slow learners in here, Joe. Come on. We got 100 slow learners in here. Come on. Go ahead, man.
Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see now and know. And seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it.
Is that unbelievable? He said, just find one guy who'll stand up for truth. Just find me one.
And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them. but they have not grieved.
Oh, Joe, he's stricken us down, and we've not grieved. Go ahead.
Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Mm. Therefore I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God.
But Joe, they do, don't they? They do know the way of the Lord. They do know the judgment of God, right? Jeremiah said that they just must not know. It must just be ignorance. Keep going.
I will get me unto the great men.
Oh, no. Stop, Joe. Who are they going to get? They're going to get to the great men. They're going to get to the great men, the guys who can really, really make a difference. Jeremiah said, I'm sick of this crap. I'm going to go get me some great men. See what happens, Joe.
And will speak unto them. For they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds.
So they were tied to the Lord and to the precepts of God. They were great men, great wise men. And what did they do? They cut those cords. We're not going, hey, separation between the church and the state. Go ahead, Joe.
Wherefore, a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evenings shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities.
Wow.
Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased.
Talking to believers, folks. Jeremiah ain't talking about the world. He's talking to the great men, the wise men. Go ahead, Joe.
How shall I pardon thee for this?
Hang on. Do you think he's looking for advice? Hey, anybody know how he pardoned? I don't think he's looking for advice, do you? Huh? How come? I don't think that's what he's saying. Go ahead.
Thy children have forsaken me.
You can say amen.
And sworn by them that are no gods.
Amen.
When I have fed them to the full, then they have committed adultery. And assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses.
Wait a minute. Hey, Joe, who's he talking about here? The children of the great men, right? Hey, Brad, am I getting this okay? Is he not talking about the children of the great men?
Yes, it is.
Amen.
They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after their neighbor. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this?
Wow. So he gives them a plan. He gives them a plan, Joe. Hey, folks, is this us? Is he talking to us today? Uh-oh. So I got a plan. Here's what it is, Joe. Go ahead, Tim.
Go ye upon her walls and destroy, but make not a full end. Take away her battlements. For they are not.
Yeah, some men trust in horses, some men trust in chariots. But we will trust in the name of the Lord. And we're trusting on walls and all other kinds of weapons. He said, go tear those things down because they ain't for me.
For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord.
Oh, he's mad about his own people. He ain't mad about these other the devil's kids.
They have belied the Lord and said, it is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine.
We're Americans. We're Republicans. He's not going to do anything to us.
And the prophets shall become wind.
Oh.
And the word is not in them.
Oh my goodness.
Thus shall it be done.
I'm sorry. Folks, think about those people now who you see prophesying, and it's all personal prophecy. Oh, I see a job in the future for you. Oh, yes, and you're going to have blessings over, and you're chilling. Huh? It's just been hot air. It's just become hot air is what Jeremiah says. Go ahead, Joe.
Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire.
Wow.
And this people wood, and it shall devour them.
Oh my goodness, Lord.
Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far, O house of Israel.
Oh, America. I'm going to bring a nation from afar, America.
It is an ancient nation.
Uh-oh.
A nation whose language thou knowest not.
Ho Chi Minh! No. That's
what they say.
Coronavirus! Ooh! Oh, a soul! That's Japanese, maybe. Go ahead.
Their quiver is as an open sepulcher. They are all mighty men.
Are you guys picking up on this, man? This ain't free friendship evangelism right here, boys and girls. They're getting serious, man. Their quiver is an open grave. Man, oh man, oh man.
And they shall eat up thine harvest and thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat.
This is a country coming from afar with a different language.
They shall eat up thy flocks and thine herds. They shall eat up thy vines and thy fig trees. They shall impoverish thy fenced cities wherein thou trustest with the sword.
Okay, I'm going to stop right there a second, Joe, because I got a couple people that want to comment. I'm going to let them jump in there before they lose their thoughts. So go ahead, Rochelle, and then Debbie. Go ahead. You're muted. You're muted, Rochelle. Rochelle, you're muted.
Hit. Thanks, Coach. Good morning, everyone. Hitting on your bullet points, all of them lead to legislation and a way of thinking that leads us away from God, the Almighty Creator. And now we deserve this. Now we're killing babies in the womb. We're letting boys compete against girls. We're chopping body parts off at the age of 10. We deserve this kind of judgment.
Rochelle, because it's the great men. The great men have permitted it, right? If the great men permit it, what about the rest of us?
Well, Satan has won in the hearts and minds of America.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, Debbie.
Well, I was there on the weekend, and this brought up so much discussion, and everybody could relate it to today. And I just think it was amazing how we could see ourselves in every verse.
Amen. Amen.
And what we've done in every verse.
And our negligence. Yes.
And so anyway, I just wanted to comment on that, because if we could have church like that, where we would take just one chapter and go through it line by line, it would be amazing.
It is amazing. Multitude of many counselors.
Yeah.
Roger. Wait, I'll see you in a couple weeks here, Debbie.
Okay.
Roger, come on in.
In reading Jeremiah 5, I think it solidifies this idea of judgment. Either we're under his judgment and it's going to get worse, or it's coming. And I don't know that we have a right to think about his mercy upon us.
Amen. No. Amen, Roger.
Roger, the wise men have sold us out. Folks, do you understand that? Do you see that the wise men sold us out?
Yeah.
Jeremiah went to the wise men and they said, the Supreme Court, those wise men, separation of church and state. Kill babies, yeah. Marry anything you want, yeah. Wise men did that to us. Reggie. Your hand's up, Reg. You want to jump in?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, my microphone was off. I'm sorry. So Rochelle was right. This happened on our watch, yours, mine. I mean, we all, to a certain degree, even though we're awake now, we're all responsible. And therefore, we're still responsible because we are awake. We have to do something.
That's right. We're in the midst of it, right? That's why I stopped right there, because I love this word, nevertheless. There's always hope. Nevertheless, I'll get Cannon and Mark. I'll get you in a second. Go ahead, Joe. Finish this. Verse 18.
Nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end with you.
It's hope, huh? There's always hope, huh? Always hope.
And it shall come to pass when ye shall say, wherefore doeth the Lord our God all these things unto us?
He ain't going to do that, Joe.
Then shalt thou answer them, like as ye have forsaken me, and serve strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours.
Oh my goodness. It is our land. It's the Lord's land. Keep going.
Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying...
Publish it in church, will you? Say this in your churches, please.
Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not.
Social distance, put on that mask, stand in line for the vaccine. Go ahead.
Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves therefore toss themselves, yet can they not prevail?
Though they roar,
and yet they cannot pass over it.
I never thought about that. The sound of the waves at night is them roaring because they can't go any farther. Huh? You ever think about that? Boy, they come out. You want to get that big old wave, and then it crashes, and darn it. They go back and start again. He said, nope, you ain't gone no further than this. Go ahead, Joe. 23.
But this people hath a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone.
Oh, my goodness.
Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away from these things, away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you.
Wow, your carnal nature comes back to that carnal nature, doesn't it? It's blocked the blessings of God. Go ahead, Joe.
For among my people are found wicked men.
Where, Joe? Where do they find it? Amongst my his people. You mean not the lost guys? Among my people are found wicked men. Wow.
They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap.
They catch men.
As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore, they are become great and waxen rich.
The thief cometh but to kill and to steal and to destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The hireling, boys and girls, go ahead.
They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fearless.
Fatherless, yet, Joe, fatherless.
And the cause of the fatherless.
They ignore abortion. They ignore child trafficking. They ignore all that stuff, right? They don't plead the cause. They don't worry about them. Go ahead, Joe.
Yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge.
Wow, help us, Lord. My goodness.
Shall I not visit for these things?
Say again, he's not asking advice. He's justifying. He's saying, hey, don't point your finger at me. What would you do if you were in my spot? That's what he's saying.
Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this?
So hang on, Joe. Folks, take this in deeply, okay? Take these next two verses in deeply. Go ahead, Joe.
A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so.
Wow.
What will you do in the end thereof?
Go back, hey Spencer, go back to all those lies. Go back to all those lies I wrote about. The prophets prophesy falsely, the priests bear rule, and the people love to have it. Look at them. People love to have it that way. Oh, yeah, all those lies. All of them. Come on in, Cannon, and then Mark Trump, and then Roger.
Okay, so this is great, Coach. Now, this is all about staging. I have mentioned countless times about 1 Corinthians 6:9. Now, this is the perfect time to stage it. Why do I keep stressing it? Why do I keep stressing the word Malachi? Because the wise men were in on the whole thing. They're the ones who disguised the word Malakoi to disguise their peccadilloes. Mm. That's what the whole thing is about. Now, the second point is very simple. We always talk about our Holy Trinity. We don't mention their Holy Trinity. And their Holy Trinity is abortion, sodomy, and usury. That's what that's what we face.
Abortion, sodomy, and interest paid on loans. Wow. Vinny. Good one, Vinny. Mark, come on in.
Hey, man. What Joe read, shall I not visit the nation? Is that how that went?
Yes.
All right, nation. So keep in mind, there's two judgments always. There's always going to be a nation's judgment and then individual. So what's the timing of judgment? Timing of judgment, God judge nations. The people are standing by for judgment individually. So as a nation, there's responsibilities as an individual to sanctify a nation. As an individual, you also get judged separately. Mm-hmm. So judgment, you know, we read about it in Jeremiah. What does the people do? It's kind of like what that just said. The people chose not to follow the Lord's ways in Jeremiah, and he destroys them. And the point I brought out yesterday is, why are nations judged? Why are nations judged through these different cycles of judgment? It was their blood. Their blood had become corrupt. They were unable to bear offspring, so God sent people in to kill those people. So keep in mind that our nation, because of these reasons, our blood may no longer be viable.
Wow.
So individually, we're going to get judged, and as a nation, we're going to get judged.
Man, oh man, that's deep, Mark. Go back to Jeremiah 5 there, Spencer, if you real quickly. Roger, did you want to jump in, or you just got your hand
up? I was going to go to 6:1.
Yeah, 6:1. Go ahead, Spence.
Flee for the safety, people of Benjamin. And I think, how does that play into our ministry through Pass the Salt, taking on the culture? Because in some ways, 6:1 says, you know, get the hell out of there.
It does. That's right. It says, shepherds with their flocks come round under. Let's go back to 5:1, Spence, if we could. Go back there again. Because let's not forget where this began, right? What's it say? See, in this writing that Jeremiah does here, he tells us what to do and then tells us why. Right? What's the action? Run ye to and fro through the streets of America and see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man. If there could be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I'll pardon it. He says, there's the first one. He said, just go find me one guy telling the truth. Just go do that. And if you can find me one guy that's telling the truth, I'm going to pardon it. And then he goes on and he lays out verse 1, his justification for verse 1. And so here we are, right? And this is, folks, this is as present day a writing as you could possibly run into. Right there, that Jeremiah verse chapter 5 is right now America. That's what we're dealing with. Somebody help me bring this thing home. We got a couple minutes here. Wow. Sobering, isn't it? Sobering. Nobody? DMF, come on in, Dale. Pastor Dale, God bless you, Dale.
Hey, brother. Amen. You know, that Jeremiah chapter 5, I've preached on some of the times. But when you get to the end of it, because people will look at this, just look at our politicians. When we look at the Beetlejuice up there in Michigan or the Newsom in California or the rest of these idiots that run the nation, I always say this. I said the only people that are more stupid and dumb and wicked than those that are running in office are those that vote for them. And what is it? What is the last line of chapter 5? My people. Listen, this is the problem. You know, it's not the government, it's the people, because we've put these idiots in office or we lack to hold their feet to the fire. I have a great testimony what happened at our boil yesterday, but I didn't want to, you know, rain on anybody's parade. And looks like you guys had a great time at Chad's.
We had a great time at Chad's, and you can share that with us tomorrow, Dale. Folks, here it is. He just said it. Verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their own means. They set it up however they want to do it. And my people love it. Ah. And what will you do in the end thereof? Chew on that one. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.